before you come to Earth, like, you're just like an innocent bubble and you have no idea. And then once you get to Earth, you're like, this is hell. This is hard.
I agree.
Gas
to
is $4.50. Like, nobody what? Told me that.
I didn't agree to pay those kind of gas prices.
No, when I was looking down in the 90s, it was like, well, like $1.75, and I was like, sure, I can make that work.
You're like, you know what? That's doable, you know?
It's more than a podcast. They're more than best friends. It's more than an hour of laughing and crying and then going back to laughing again. It's more than a podcast. They're more than ex-Mormons.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to More Than Mormon. I'm Nina.
And I'm Meg.
I'm glad you're here.
We're so glad you're here. No, I just was distracted. It's clicking
okay,
on things.
I thought there might have been a lag, and I was like, great, here we go. Technical difficulties, as if we could ever get through an episode without one.
Well, no, it's just my brain. There's just a lag in my brain.
Same. Before we get started, I just want to point out, do you see what I'm wearing?
I do. I noticed that earlier, but you were in a panic. By the way. Send it to me.
So we don't have these shirts anymore, but we can totally make more. And I think just for funsies, I think we kind of want to make my friends went to Colab and all I got with this was this lousy t-shirt. I am literally spit-firing it here live in front of Meg for the first time because that's just how my brain works. I was thinking that maybe we could make some shirts if everyone is interested, maybe like a variety, and do some sort of fundraiser that we can then take the funds and like put it into a direct give back to the people in Ukraine. Or something to that effect. So anyway, I just thought this shirt's pretty great and I like it and I love it and you will too. And if you're interested in something like that, you can, like, maybe you want a design that you want to share with us that you think we would like or whatever, or a charity or something specific that you know will make it directly into the hands of people in Ukraine that you want to suggest or whatever. Like, I don't know, I just feel like we need to do something. And I really want to.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I feel like we need to do something. And also, we've been like talking about shirts for a while because we did stickers. Fun. We love stickers. We're going to make some more. So stickers, shirts, whatever. Yeah. I also know that Jen from Exmo Candle Co. There's like a special candle of the month that if you buy, profits go towards the same cause, so we can link that too.
Yes, we will link that below. They
and it's the Lazy Learner candle, which is one, hilarious, and two, one of the candles I have from them, and it smells delicious.
It's amazing. So yeah, we will link that below, and we're gonna do our best to get this episode out soon, and that way we can all interact and decide collectively as a little tiny More Than Mormon community how we want to give back, because the church is doing this fast and pray thing and asking people for their tithe and fasting donations, but not taking any of them and giving them to the people in Ukraine. So I have a huge issue with that. And I'm sure everyone listening also has an issue with me. So I think we have to do something. Anyway, that's my spiel before we get into today's episode.
Yeah. Speaking of today's episode, it's fun. It's a game. And it's also a topic that, like, is exciting to talk about as ex-Mormons because it's something that you're not supposed to talk about as Mormons. And it's not the temple. It's patriarchal blessings. And I'm so excited. Yeah. Because I feel like when you get your patriarchal blessing, it's, like, so exciting. And people are like, oh, congratulations. Like, how was the experience? But you're not supposed to share what's in your patriarchal blessing except for with, like, your immediate family.
Yep. It's supposed to be very, very sacred and kept secret. They encourage you. Hold on. Leonardo, get down. Do Did you hear that? He jumped all the way up onto the chinchilla cage, you little shit.
I did hear that, and it sounded like he was robbing a jewelry store.
That's, yeah, those poor chinchillas. <They're> like, monster! Anyway, very sacred, very special. You're not supposed to share it with people that you don't feel like will be in your life forever. So, like, your family and, like, your spouse, and basically that's it. When I went and got my patriarchal blessing, I had my mom and a couple friends come with me, and I'm still friends with at least one of those people. And to me, I was like, this doesn't, like, I feel okay sharing it. And I have had several friends that I've shared either my blessing entirely or, it, you know, large chunks, and, you know, kind of shared back and forth and talked about it. So for me, I never had an issue talking about it, but it is not something that people talk about in the church. And I think after today's episode, you'll see why.
Yes. So really quick, I feel like one of us should give a rundown of what a patriarchal blessing is, and one of us should explain the game that we're going to play.
Yes. Okay. So I can give a quick little rundown, and then you can talk about the game.
Delightful.
So a patriarchal blessing. In the church, there is a man, generally he's fairly old, called to be what they call a patriarch, and this is a lifelong calling. So once they get called to be a patriarch, they stay in that position until they kick the bucket. So,
and there's one for every stake.
Every stake.
At least one for every stake. Yes. Yeah.
So everybody within the stake. So, you know, there's like a large geographical location set aside, and that's called a stake. And then within the stake is little congregations, otherwise known as a ward. And so the patriarch gives these very special once in a lifetime blessings to everyone. And it's kind of like a Mormon rite of passage because you don't get it right away. A lot of people get it, like late teens, right before they go on their mission or get married. And you only get one. And the patriarch will kind of take you and, you know, whoever you have with you, your family or you're by yourself or whatever. And he gets to know you a little bit, kind of asks you some questions, kind of tries to get a little personal so he has an idea of who you are. And then his wife usually is the one to record the blessing. So they will physically like type it up, and they will also like audio record the blessing. And the blessing then gets sent to church headquarters, and it kind of like gets stored in their little cloud, if you will. And I know for me, like, I had lost my blessing, and I was able to go online and like type in my membership and just print it out. And this blessing gives you a lot of things. A lot of people will kind of liken it to like a magic eight ball or fortune telling. And that's because it'll kind of give you an idea of what you may have been like in the pre-earth life, things to look out for or to be prepared for in the future, things like that. Sometimes warnings will come across or whatever. And historically, the patriarchal blessings used to be something that they charged for around 1840. It was about a dollar. And then a little bit later, it went up to $2.
Inflation.
And yep, got, you know.
Makes sense.
Gotta make account for inflation, of course.
God's so gotta make that calling.
Gotta make that money, baby. Mm-hmm. And nowadays, you don't pay for it. I do believe that on a very rare occasion, they will like repeat a blessing or like redo it if like something happened to one of the recordings or whatever, but that's pretty rare. One of the things that they try and pretend is like the most important, which it's not, but they tell you about which tribe you come from.
Of the 12.
So if you could bear with me here. So God has 12 tribes of Israel, and they're all scattered around the world. And each tribe has some sort of special thing that they bring to the table. And together, everyone will collectively gather Zion. And it's fairly common to see people who are like born in the church or are converts who are like white European be from the tribe of Ephraim.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what all of the tribes are. I feel like I could probably look it up and list it before.
There's like
for people who are interested.
Yeah, Dan, I don't know all
Judah,
of them.
There's
Levi, Manasseh.
Levi. Yes, and so all
yeah,
of them mean different things.
There's like you said, like most, a lot of people get Ephraim, and there's a few other ones that people get frequently, and it is interesting because, you know, biologically, if we're all descended from these 12 tribes, these 12 families, then like we're probably mixed and could fall into quite a few. You know, it's like how you can be Irish and German and Polish and English and, you know, like a million different things. So it's interesting that you only get one, that they're like, you're
yes.
from this lineage and you enjoy these blessings, when like,
and they supposedly
really
receive this revelation in real time, like God independently directly to you, like this is for you. And that's why it's like once in a lifetime.
Yeah.
And they say that it's really important to like know your tribe or whatever, but really what they're trying to do is like indoctrinate you and get you focused on all the warnings and such, but like a kind of like a blinder, if you will, like a distraction is, you know, the 12 tribes. Funny story. I have Jewish heritage. My last name used to be very Jewish, Goldwater, very Jewish. And my mission president, he used me as an example in his own conference once, because I was a convert and I have Jewish heritage of a very Jewish last name. And he's like, Sister Goldwater, stand up and tell me, because he was talking about the gathering of Israel. He's like, and he was talking about like Ephraim and Judah or whatever. A lot of people with Jewish heritage and ancestry will be called to the tribe of Judah. And so he's like, Sister Goldwater, stand up. And I embarrassingly stand up. And because I'm a convert with this Jewish heritage, he was trying to make a point about how Jews and Gentiles and And he goes, which tribe are you from? And I'm like, Ephraim? And he's like, and let's just pretend she's from Judah. I was like, I just sat back down. And I was like,
that is
even something I cannot help disappoints.
Not for you, but for him.
And he, the look on his face, he's like, well, let's just pretend she's from Judah. I'm like, fuck, 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 fuck. That did not work out the way.
Oh, God, I love that.
Anyway, so they really do try and make the patriarchal blessings like a really big deal. Like, for instance, I fasted. And I spent a lot of time like studying and praying and thinking about things that I wanted to know or hear in my patriarchal blessing beforehand. And anyways, that's just kind of like the gist of the patriarchal blessing. We can definitely link below just like general information about it. And also, you know, give you some links of some other places that, you know, do some deeper dives. It's actually kind of interesting how it all comes to be. But personally, I feel like it's no different than, you know, I mentioned like fortune telling, you know, like going and seeing like a medium or doing tarot cards. I feel like humans generally have a desire to be spiritual and be led by some sort of oracle, if you will. And so I think this is just another manifestation of that, because a lot of people find comfort in their patriarchal blessings in times of trial and sorrow. And I know personally, I found a lot of my testimony was like nailed in because of my patriarchal blessings. So anyway, it's a big deal. So we're going to go through them. And I even have my husband's patriarchal blessings.
Oh, you do?
Anyway, I do. Matt, do you want to tell them about the game? Because you're brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just going to say, I was always like excited to get married so I could read my husband's patriarchal blessing. Like, not for like the marriage part. I just wanted to read someone else's patriarchal blessing.
Just out of curiosity.
Yeah. I was like, just give me that paper. Let me see it. So the game. So before you listen to this, or I guess before you listen to the rest of this episode, if you go to our Instagram, there will be a couple different versions of a patriarchal blessing bingo card. With a bunch of like tropes and cliches that people often talk about getting in their patriarchal blessing. And a lot of them came from people that follow us on Instagram because I asked some questions about it and put those into the bingo card. So Lena and I each have a card. She has card number one and I have card number two, but there'll be a couple more. So like, feel with your heart which one's going to make you a winner.
Listen
and like
to the
grab
spirit.
A screenshot. Yeah. And play along.
Yep, and play along.
I feel like we're going to read all of both of them either way. So it doesn't really matter.
Maybe I think we'll read, may be right.
Maybe we'll read, like, I can read mine first, but I think that we should, in terms of bingo, we can mark for both of our blessings. Because there might be, like, some cliches you get that I don't have and might be some things I have.
So maybe we can both
we got ours from different patriarchs.
Yeah. So maybe we can read through our blessings, like, one at a time, go through our little chart, and then kind of, like, talk about what we end up with. Because I feel like we may end up with the blackout.
Yeah. Okay, so let me like really fast read of just a few of the things that are on the bingo card.
Yes, yes.
Because a lot of these did come from Instagram followers that helped me out. One of the most common was, of course, temple marriage. Having earthly babies is a square. I think there's a square that's like having babies in the next life.
In the next
those
life,
are different squares because you never know.
And they are different things in the church.
Yes. Alluding to having a big calling. Porn warning. That's one. It's just a square called porn warning.
Wonder why there wasn't one in there for me. No spirit of discernment. No spirit of discernment.
There is one that's like a list of spiritual attributes that you have.
The spiritual gifts.
Yes. Word of wisdom one. Shout out. Be careful who you hang out with. Be careful to avoid hanging out with ex-Mormons. Those are different squares because you can hang
Warnings
out with seedy Mormons.
Or else.
Mm-hmm. And House of Ephraim is a square.
Because it's the most popular.
Yeah, you're welcome. I guess if you're listening to this and you're not House of Ephraim, you can still cross it off. You cannot cross it off as long as you're in a tribe. If you're like some crazy outlier and they're like, you're not from a tribe, then I don't know what to tell you. So I'll just start reading and you stop me when something strikes you.
Okay.
All right. I'm not going to read my full name, but it says Sister Me. In accordance with your desire and by virtue of the holy Melchizedek priesthood, which I hold, and as an ordained patriarch, I lay my hands upon your head and give unto you your patriarchal blessing, a blessing that will serve as a guide throughout your life and will give you greater strength and courage in doing our Heavenly Father's work. Our Heavenly Father is pleased with your obedience to his promptings by seeking the sacred ordinance. Take satisfaction in knowing that our Heavenly Father appreciates your faithfulness and has accepted all that you have sacrificed by becoming a member of the only true church here upon the earth. Our Heavenly Father loves you and appreciates all the service you have rendered to his children. You have been given much in this life, and much will be expected of you. And I'm assuming that that's like a spiritual, you have been given much, because I grew up very much like lower class.
You're like, I certainly wasn't given much materially, so.
I was given like free lunch at school and like, you know, those kinds of things, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing in that. Nothing in that is like personal to me. Like I read that and I feel
nothing. I feel it's very generic right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You are of the house of Israel and enjoy the lineage of Ephraim. Hashtag Team Ephraim. The choice son of Joseph who was sold into Egypt. Our Heavenly Father promises you the same blessings that were given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as you faithfully live the commandments and the doctrine of Jesus Christ. I do think there's a square, there's a few that are like blessings, but only if you're obedient. Like only if you are faithful and live the commandments.
Mm-hmm.
Because of course, a big part of the patriarchal blessing, I think for a lot of people, is like it promises you a lot. Like it lays out a lot of things that are going to happen in this life, in the next life, and all of it is like predicated on your obedience and your faithfulness.
I feel like a lot of blessings use those exact wording, like predicated upon your faithfulness.
Yeah. So in like times of distress and times of doubt and like questioning, you know, your testimony or your life or the choices you're making or your relationships, you like can only go so far because there's that fear of like, oh, but if I'm not faithful enough, then like it's not just this situation, it's this life and the next and like all these blessings that are laid out in my patriarchal blessing that, like, I really want, because a lot of them are like marriage and having a family. That's a really scary thing to be like, if I'm not faithful, like, will Heavenly Father like not let me have a family? And the church yep. would like you to believe that that is the case, or certainly that you won't have a happy one.
Yep.
Yeah. You have been given a bounty of blessings. A bounty. Do you hear that? A bounty. I don't know. I should be marking on my bingo. Are you marking on your bingo anything yet?
I'm marking a couple for you as I go, and like as I think about my, yeah. But it's like so scattered, so yeah, but I am.
Okay.
Yes.
So far I have two things marked. Bounty of blessings to assist. So I get blessings, but only if I use them to assist. You will lead and minister to the sisters of this church. Interesting that it's to sisters of this church. That
mm-hmm.
that like very, very low-key always kind of bothered me. Because I was like, well, why is it just the sisters of the church? But then I was mm-hmm. like, you know what? I'm probably going to be like Relief Society president, like Young Women's president, like...
And then, of course, you were.
Yeah, and then I think I read a part of this to someone. It might have even been you, like, before my mission. And they were like, oh, it sounds like you're going to have a really big impact on, like, your companions, you know, because it's, like, the sisters, just the sisters. And I was like, mm-hmm. yeah, the sisters of the church. You've been given the gift of revelation. You have a heart filled with meekness and kindness. You also have been given a mind fortified with intellect and wisdom. With these blessings and gifts, you will be able to discern the needs of the sisters of the church.
Again.
So twice. Yeah.
And you were never called to be an STL?
No.
Were you called to be a trainer?
I did follow up. I did like the second 6 weeks for two of my companions.
So kind possibly. Of.
Yeah. But I was never called to train from the get-go. I was always like moved in. I don't know what was happening the first transfer, like the first 6 weeks for these missionaries, but I was always like put in the second 6 weeks. And that like really bothered me because, and this is a total tangent.
I remember you writing about it in emails to me. And I remember like, I commiserated. I really felt like I wanted to train, and then I fucking hated it when I did. But you were like really frustrated because you're like, I'm responsible. I know what I'm doing. I already know how to be a teacher. Like, I can do this. I don't understand why. And I don't have a memory of you voicing this part of your patriarchal blessing, but I can definitely see, I mean, this is my outside perspective. For me, that would bug me. I would feel like mm-hmm. I was doing something wrong if, like, this is what I was called to do specifically, and I wasn't being put in any leadership position that would allow me to have a positive influence on the sisters. I'd be so infuriated.
Well, so all of that, yes, yes, and yes. And then additionally, my first mission president, in like my first interview with him, like right as soon as you get off the plane, and then also in like the trainings at the beginning of your mission before you like go to your area, he had said to like everyone, he said multiple times, he said it to me in my interview that like every single missionary will have the opportunity to like they will be called to train or they will be called to leadership. Like throughout their mission, every single one. And so when I was getting like 4, 3, 2 transfers left in my mission, I did feel like I was doing something wrong. And I remember my attitude sort of switching, especially as I think I had 3 transfers left. It was 4 or 3 transfers left. I had a companion that was like really tough. Like we did not like each other. And I remember just being like, I don't even care anymore. Like my mission president looked me dead in the face and said, you will have the opportunity to do these things. And I didn't get the opportunity to do them. And I was like really, really pissed about it. And then my companion who I hated. We like had this like, it's like funny now, but at the time it was like very frustrating.
You're under so much stress. You're just about to blow, like literally at any point.
Yeah. So we had had, she had like told the STLs that she was really unhappy with me. I don't blame her. I was really unhappy with her. Like, and they did like an emergency, not an emergency transfer, but like an emergency like exchange, I guess. And then at the end of the exchange, which I was like, okay, whatever. I'm guessing that they just wanted us both to like have space from each other, like not a big deal. But so then at the end of the exchange, they like sat us down and they were all looked at me and they're like, Armana, quickly, I think you know why we're here and what we need to talk about. And I was like, I actually don't. I don't know what's going
on. You're like, and now you're freaking me out. Thanks.
Yeah. And they were like, you yelled at her and she feels very uncomfortable and very unsafe and like because you got mad at her and like all this stuff. And I was like, when did I yell at you? And she was like, oh, 2 weeks ago on P-Day about this thing. And I was like, okay, well, I apologize for yelling at you 2 weeks ago on P-Day, but I really didn't give a shit. Like I was
like, she's like writing in her little planner like, Meg yelled at 2:42 p.m. on Monday, whatever, August 23rd.
Probably. So then, like, after that, I can tell you, I did yell at her. Like, when she was being stupid. I was like, that's not, you're doing it wrong. You're not trying.
She's like, being stupid.
I just was, like, such a shitty companion to her. And at that point, we had, like, maybe, like, 2 weeks left in the transfer, right? So it was just like, whatever, we're going to make it through. We had, like, no investigators. We were basically just visiting, like, less active sisters in the branch. Like, I was like, it doesn't matter. It's 2 weeks, and then I just have two transfers. And I was so frustrated, and I battled anxiety a lot on my mission. And so, like, a lot of things gave me anxiety. And being, like, she was a newer missionary, and I was almost done, so I had a lot of influence. And I also just have the kind of personality where, like, if I want to be in charge, like, I can be. And so I just was like, you know what, we're just gonna fake it till we make it for the next like 2 weeks, and yep, then one of us like has to get transferred, like we have to get transferred, which we did. I got transferred. Oh, and also I was back in my area where I started as a greenie, which was like adding this layer of like nothing has changed in this area where I worked so hard and where like my trainer worked so hard and my trainer's trainer worked so hard. And I was in this wonderful district and we had all these investigators. And then I came back to it like over a year later. And I was like, no, like nothing has changed. And it's still a shitty place, you know, like in terms of membership and active members and numbers and stuff.
It's the exact same. Yeah.
Yeah, there was like this added layer of like, I'm back in this area, and I just felt like a failure. I was like, my companion is calling the STLs and telling them I'm yelling at her. I'm back in this area where I worked for the first like 6 months of my mission, and like nothing has changed. It didn't do anything. And like, I'm almost done with my mission, and I was told that I was going to do these amazing things and see these amazing things, and I'm running out of time to do these things and see these things. So it was like a lot on me. So then we were at the STL's house. They lived with members in like this really nice area. And I don't know why we were there. I think it was maybe just like they just were focused on us because they knew that we were both unhappy. So they were just like, you're just going to hang out with us as much as possible. And it was like the night we were getting transfers. And I'm sure that they knew what was going to happen with transfers, and I'm sure that's why they were like, we need to be around when this news comes in, because my stupid companion was called to train and I was transferred out of the area. And I don't think I said any swear words, but I know I yelled, and I know that at one point one of the STLs was like, you can't be mad at President so-and-so because like this is revelation, and if you're mad at him then you're mad at God. And I remember being like, I am mad at God. Like, yeah. I'm so mad at God. And I think, and like my patriarchal blessing, it has like mentions of, you know, you're gonna do all these big things and help and be responsible and whatever, and you have this purpose. And I had received many other blessings, you know, when I was set apart and like throughout my mission. And we've talked about this before, that like all of my blessings were predicated on like, if you succeed in this way, then like you will get to be with your family forever. And so like every failure that I had as a in the church, but especially as a missionary, was just like, you will not be with your family forever because you are not good enough. You're not faithful enough. You're not righteous enough. Like, you're not being called to train. You're not being called to STL. You're not being called to do these things because you're not good enough. And that in itself felt really shitty. But like underneath it all was like, Heavenly Father is telling me that like what I'm doing right now isn't good enough to like save my family for all eternity. And that like really, really fucked with me. And I just remember her being like, her yelling at me and being like, you can't be mad at the mission president because this is revelation and blah, blah. And I was like, I am mad at him. And I am mad at God.
You're not allowed to have feelings at all. How dare you?
Heaven forbid. And then I got transferred and I was in a trio, and my last two transfers of my mission were great. And I think a lot of it was because I had just really given up. Like, I was just like, I'm just going to be friends with the people I meet, and I don't give a shit if they get baptized or not, because everyone else I've baptized is no longer active. So like, I'm just going to be friends with people. And I had a great time and I had a lot of fun, and we did a lot of fucking around in those last two transfers.
Been there.
Yeah.
Been there.
That was a big tangent, yeah. But I just like rereading this, I was like, oh yeah. Yeah. I was supposed mm-hmm. to be doing big things.
Yep.
I wasn't doing big things. I was yelling at missionaries.
I was supposed to be.
Well, I also think like up until that point in my mission, really up until like probably like just before that transfer, I really felt like I was like a good missionary. Like, I was really good at speaking Spanish, and I was really personable, and I had good numbers, and I was like well liked by like people in my district. And so it was just like, things were going well, and then it was just like back to square one, like literally the same area, and just like, it was like, this is shit. This is shit. And there is that moment where you're like, I have wasted a year and a half of my life, or for elders like 2 years, doing this, like feeling like shit for no reason.
Yep. God. And they stress how important this tiny little period of time is.
Yeah. In my case, apparently my family's eternal life depended on it. I fucked it up. Sorry, eternal family.
My bad.
All right. So, sisters of the church, you will have the authority and guidance of the Holy Ghost to discern those who are seeking the gospel and need spiritual uplifting in their lives. You will be guided to render aid to the spiritually oppressed and mend the broken hearts of these individuals. Therefore, it is important to stay close to our Heavenly Father by living a clean and spotless life, so that you may be used as an important instrument for our Heavenly Father's latter day purposes.
A clean and spotless life. I'm going to go grab my charger. You keep talking.
Okay, I'm going to mark, there's one on here that's like subtle shout out to the law of chastity.
No shit. Not so subtle.
This will prepare you to teach others the beauties of the gospel. Your testimony will strengthen and not waver. We're going to have to come back to that. You will find joy and satisfaction in rendering services to those who are not of this faith. They will feel your humility and spiritual presence. So I love so many things about that. I think that that's always been one of my favorite paragraphs of my patriarchal blessing. Big fan of not just converting people, but rendering service to those who are not of this faith. I think that that's a really like special, I don't know if it's unique, but it feels like a very special part of my patriarchal blessing. Like, I always liked feeling like Heavenly Father knew that I was a convert, and that I had lots of friends that were not Mormon, that I had lots of friends that are of a wide variety of beliefs. And so I like that they got a little shout out. Although I do think later there's a shout out that's like, but seriously, be really careful about who you hang out with, because they will try to destroy your testimony.
So it's like, if you can't convert them, drop them.
Yeah, it's like, render them service and bear your testimony, but also, you know, Be really careful.
Kick them to the curb if they're not fitting the mold.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to mark on my bingo card for this paragraph, you will maybe serve a mission, because it doesn't say mission, but it says...
I was going to say...
Convert, testimony.
Like, it tells you that you're going to, like, be a missionary subliminally, but it doesn't flat out tell you that you will.
Yes. I'm also going to mark God has a lot of work for you to do, because that is a pretty regular message throughout mine. I feel like there's another one on here. But yeah, my testimony will strengthen and not waver. Plot twist. Left of the church.
Again, spirit of discernment. Where is it, folks?
Discerned my way so right out of that
with
bullshit.
These old patriarchs.
Well, no, and I think like that's a thing too, is like, so if I was a patriarch, which I couldn't be because I have a vagina, but if I was in another life, born a male, infinitely male, and I could be a patriarch, which like they make it like it is a rare calling and that there's only like one per stake, but there's a lot of stakes. And like they die and then they call new ones. So like over time, there's quite a few of them. So certainly more than there are like apostles, you know. So if I had a real shot at being a patriarch, like I would just try to make people's blessings like so special and so exciting. And you know what I mean? Like the patriarch that gave me this is a super, super kind man. So I'm not like saying anything against him, because I know that he in his mind believed that he was receiving this revelation.
I know him. I have been to his home on a couple of occasions with people who were going to get their blessings and they took us with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We lovely. Were not allowed to go in, even though the people wanted us to be there. He would not allow us to be in.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. I went.
Which is funny because they immediately came back and read their blessings.
Right, of course.
It's like, What makes you think that if they really desperately feel like we're close enough to be there for them, that they won't come back and share it? Just be like, whatever.
I do feel like maybe there's a fear that because they do record it and then they print it up and they send it to the church and they send it to you. I remember him telling me like, oh, if things are slightly different in the version you get printed than what you remember me saying. He's like, sometimes I just edit it to make it a little clearer. You know, cause sometimes I stumble my words or I repeat things or mix things up. So like sometimes I edit it to make it clear. And I feel like he says, and I feel like they do it in that way. Like cause you can't record your own. Like, I mean, I'm sure someone somewhere has brought it like in a device and recorded their own, but like, you know, I think they do that so that there's this little bit of like margin for error, like just in case they slip up and they're like, you will be the next prophet. And then when they're editing, they're like, you know what? I may have gotten carried away.
And then they'll say, well, if that's what you heard, even, and that's not what your blessing said, it was likely revelation.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way to go back and compare because you don't ever get access to the recording that they made.
Yes, exactly. And I almost wonder if they keep them or if once they make this like finalized paper version, then they just are like, delete that shit.
I wonder too, because they use like their own computers and stuff. Yeah. So I don't know.
Yeah. All right. We're almost to the end of page one. Mine's not too long. There's like four paragraphs on the back. So we're getting there. In time, you will have the opportunity. Okay. Pause. In time is such a vague.
You're like, what does that mean?
We're always in time. Past,
my
present,
time,
future.
God's time, past time, future time, 11 o'clock. Like, what are you trying to say?
In time? Like, you could just take that out and use the rest of the sentence. But
right?
You will have the opportunity to enter the temple, capital T, and there you will enjoy laboring. Oh, wow, that's hilarious. You will enjoy laboring and performing the sacred sealing ordinances that have been restored to the earth. This is really funny because I've never done a sealing. So it's funny that it's like, you will enjoy laboring and doing the sacred sealing ordinances. I was a part of when like my grandparents, and they had passed away. So it was like on their behalf. When they were sealed and like my mom was sealed to them. I think I was proxy for like my grandma or something. But other than that, I don't think I've ever ever did a sealing. And also, I hated going to the temple. Even at, like, my most converted, I hated going to the temple. It gave me so much anxiety. Like, I would feel physically ill the whole time. I would constantly get migraines the day I was supposed to go to the temple, or, like, while I was in the temple. I did not enjoy laboring in the temple. So did maybe I didn't stick it out long enough.
Guilty that you didn't like going to the temple, and your patriarchal blessing said that you would?
I don't really remember. I remember reading this, and it specifically says the sacred sealing ordinances. So I remember thinking, well, when I'm able to, like, do sealings all the time, maybe I will enjoy that, you know? And maybe I would have, because it's a little less, you know, it's much shorter of, like, an ordinance than, like, certainly an endowment. And, like, maybe I would have enjoyed a sealing. I don't know. Didn't stick it out long enough to find out. But I don't know that it was, like, guilt, but it was, like, I was just, like, frustrated with myself and with my body and with my anxiety, that I was, like, I want to do this and I understand it's important. And, like, I certainly felt judged from other people for, like, not going to the temple more, because I would have roommates at BYUI who would go every week or twice a week, or they would do a session on Tuesday mornings and then they would work in the temple on, like, Friday nights. And I every week they're that like do you
I was at the temple all the time.
Yeah, they're like, do you want to go with me? And I had a roommate I went with her maybe, like, once a month. I was like, oh yeah, I'll go with you. But otherwise I was like, no, I'm not really into it. And I didn't like want to be like, no, I don't want to go because I don't have a good time and because I literally feel like shit. So I would just be like, oh, I'm busy, or oh, I can't. Or, and I do think there's, like, people don't really push because there is a level of, like, worthiness to go to the temple, that it's like, maybe they just assume that you're not feeling worthy at the time. But I do remember feeling like people are aware that I don't go to the temple very often. And pretty much every time I went to the temple, it was to do ordinances for, like, names of my family members. And so that was, like, the pressure was on, because I was like, I have to do the work for these people, because they're my ancestors. But I almost never went if I didn't have, like, my own names to bring and do. Because I didn't enjoy it. I didn't like it. Sorry. Through your diligence, many of your ancestors will be sealed as families for eternity, enjoying the blessings of the gospel. They will be filled with gratitude and appreciation for all the things you have done for them. So that explains why I was only going. And this is probably my number one favorite paragraph. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
As the time comes, as it comes. Whenever time is coming, you're coming too. As the time comes to select a helpmate, seek our Heavenly Father's guidance and counsel in this most important decision. An honorable bearer of the priesthood will be prepared for you, and the two of you will enter the temple and be sealed for time and all eternity. So, you know, beating around the bush on that one. That's a for sure, you're getting some dick. Some honorable priesthood dick.
You get it, girl.
Mm-hmm.
You get it.
It's been a promise to me. Does your blessing say the term helpmate?
I don't know.
I guess we'll find out.
We'll find out.
I think that's such an interesting
word. They use that a lot too.
Yeah, because it almost makes it sound like an equal partnership, but that's not the doctrine. It's just an interesting.
That's not how it goes in the church. Yeah, that is kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm. Your husband will honor and cherish you. You both will usher to this earth our Heavenly Father's choice spirits. So not only am I getting that honorable D, it's getting me pregnant.
Preggers.
For sure. I know that's a square.
Multiple babies.
At least two having earthly babies.
Yep.
Yeah, straight to earth. These spirits will be ready to listen to your counsel. And that's what I want in my children, is like full-fledged obedience and nothing else. Nothing I don't want to know. I don't know their personalities. I don't want to know anything about them, not their interests. If they're going to have medical problems that I should be prepared for. Like, no, I just want to know that they're going to listen to my fucking counsel.
They're just going to listen to what I say when I tell them to go to church.
Mm-hmm. Your home will be filled with love and the teachings of Jesus Christ. Your home will be fortified with the love of Jesus Christ. Okay, we're getting a little repetitive there. And your children will find refuge in your home from the sins of this world. You, this is my favorite sentence, buckle up. You will raise a generation that will lead the church. And I would like to count, although it is not alluding to a big calling for me, it is alluding to big callings for my children, yep, who I didn't have. So, sorry.
And will not be born in the covenant either.
No, for definitely not. Definitely not. Maybe in some other covenant, but...
but not this one.
Not this one. They better fucking listen to my counsel, though.
They better fucking listen. but I guess choice spirits.
They were choice spirits. I love the doctrine of pre-earth life, I do think is like very cute. It's very like... Mm-hmm. The Disney movie Soul. Did you see that? It's like, that's how I pictured it. Like, we're just little bubble people and we're just all vibing. And then you get like bloop, bloop, bloop down to earth. And you could live anywhere. You could be in any class. You could be any race. You could have any kind of ability or disability. Like, and when you're up, before you come to earth, like, you're just like an innocent bubble and you have no idea. And then once you get to earth, you're like, this is hell. This is hard. I don't like this.
This is terrible.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Gas is $4.50. Like, nobody told me that.
I didn't agree to pay those kind of gas prices.
No, when I was looking down in the 90s, it was like, well, like $1.75. And I was like, sure, I can make that work.
You're like, you know what? That's doable, you know?
Exactly. None of this. Anyway, we're almost done. This is like emotionally exhausting to read. I didn't think it was going to be this like heavy, but I'm just thinking about how manipulated often you read
it,
I felt.
And internalized it. Yeah, this is an indoctrination technique for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. And I think like we did those episodes on the bite model. I think if you like read your patriarchal blessing with, instead of a fun bingo, you just had like the bite model list, like you can check off so many things, like the emotional manipulation, the like behavioral, like everything. Like it tells you like what to study, yeah. It's rough. But we're almost done with mine, so it'll be fine. You will be blessed with the necessary health and strength to accomplish the many missions that our Heavenly Father has in store for you. This really pissed me off when I was like vomiting my brains out on my mission.
You were really sick. There was a chunk of your mission that you were really sick.
Yeah. Well, yes. And I think there's like a lot of factors that went into that. I think a big part of it was like, I got sick, probably like a stomach bug from someone or from something I ate, because I was eating a lot of like room temperature chicken from lovely, lovely families that signed up to feed the missionaries, something like that. And then it was like the anxiety about being sick, the anxiety about losing valuable mission time, feeling guilty. Yeah, like the stress of daily life as a missionary, like you don't get enough sleep, like, you know, it was a lot. It was a lot. And I remember reading this on my mission and being like, this is a joke. But I like that I also remember on my mission being like, you know what? It just says I'm going to have the necessary health and strength. to accomplish. It doesn't necessarily say I'm going to be healthy or strong.
That you will. Yep, I was going to say, it doesn't say that you'll be healthy and strong. It says that you'll be healthy and strong enough.
Enough. Through your health and strength, at whatever levels those might be. It's like we're Sims, and Heavenly Father's just playing a big game of Sims.
I'm telling you.
And halfway through.
I believe in the simulation theory a whole lot. Like, I have always felt, especially as a Mormon, that I felt like if, you know, God was real, he was literally just using me as a Sim character and putting me in scenarios just to see what happens. Because I'm like, I don't really enjoy being tossed around like a rag doll.
It was surprise. It's like, what, 6 months into my mission, he just took my health and strength bars and, like, dropped them to the ground. And he was like, let's see what you do now, fucker. And I was like, let me just read this paper again and see. See if there's anything here.
Let me go back to the manual and see.
Yeah, any instructions. Okay. If there's, like, a cheat code to, like, reset or, like, skip this. Oh, gosh. Okay. Through your health and strength, you will be able to overcome the obstacles that stand in your way so that you may achieve the will of our Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father will preserve you so that you may complete the missions that he has in store for you. You know what? I'm changing my mind. I'm going to mark the mission one on here because I never realized how many times it said mission.
Multiple. It's not. I see, if that were me, I would be like, oh, I'm going to serve a mission in my youth and then as an old person with my spouse.
Oh, there you go. Many, many missions.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You will find that some, I also really valued this when I was a Mormon. You will find that some assignments you are called to do will try your patience and faith. And I remember reading that and being like, yeah, I do feel like my faith and patience are being tried.
Yeah,
as if like living, like operating life as a believing indoctrinated Mormon is an experience that tries your faith and patience.
As if it's like not common for anybody else, right, regardless of faith or, and spirituality, that they also, like, it's like, what? Like, what? Did they not? I don't understand.
Only me, because it's in my blessing. Only I get to be tried.
Only Meg. The world is against you.
Ugh, for real. It really is, because listen up. Be aware that Satan, capital S, understands your importance to our Heavenly Father's work and will try to do all he can to discourage you. But because of your gift of revelation and sensitivity to the Spirit, capital S, and meekness, you will overcome these trials and difficulties. Heavenly Father will always be at your side and you'll never be alone.
You will overcome these trials and difficulties. And because we have forced you to want these blessings so much, you will do anything, believing that as long as you do it,
regardless of your health and strength, whenever. Regardless of how you feel about your faith.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, and what I love about this is, like, so it says in here twice that I have the gift of meekness, and then it says again, because of your meekness, like, you will overcome your trials and difficulties. And I remember talking to a friend of ours and talking about this and patriarchal blessings in general. And I remember being like, mine says multiple times that, like, meekness is something that I have. Meekness is a big part of who I am, that it's like a gift that I have. And, like, certainly there are circumstances where I feel like I can be meek. And certainly there are, like, times where I felt like I had mastered that, you know, gift of meekness. But I would not say that I'm, like, an innately or naturally meek person. Like, let's reference back the story I just told about yelling at my companion and then yelling at an STL about how I was mad at God. Like,
yeah,
that's,
you can
not
have a really short fuse.
Yeah.
Depending on the scenarios that you're in.
Yes, absolutely. Like, meekness is something that, like, I just, pre this patriarchal blessing, I was like, meekness is something I can show. Like, I can be meek in certain circumstances. And I think that meekness can be a strength oftentimes, you know, but I certainly didn't think that it felt like something I had to, like, work on, you know, and, like, develop. And so I think it's so interesting that makes sense because my stake patriarch had never met me before he gave me this blessing, that not once but twice he's like, oh, your meekness. Because when I first meet someone, especially someone who I think is very important, I am a more timid person when I like meet someone. And especially like men that I feel like have authority over me in any way, men in mm-hmm. general, mm-hmm. really intimidate me. So it makes sense that a man I've never met before would be like, wow, you're so meek. I was getting a tattoo totally. A couple weeks ago, and the tattoo artist was like talking to me, and we were talking about the flowers and the tattoo, and he was like, oh, daisies represent like happiness and kindness. And he's like, you seem just like such a happy, like bubbly kid. And I was like, first of all, I'm 27, but like also I was like, yeah, thank you. Again, but I would say that like
a really pessimistic
I was angry. Yeah. I was like, sure, but I also feel like being bubbly is mm-hmm. something that I have like developed over time, that I have like chosen and continue to choose over and over again. You know, as situations come that I don't want to be pessimistic, so I'm like, I'm gonna try to be optimistic, and it's, you know, whatever. But he was just like, of course this man who I am intimidated by, who is sticking a needle in my arm, is gonna be like, wow, you're just so delightful, because I'm not gonna fucking piss you off.
You're like, same why would I patriarch. Do something to make you mad? Yep, exactly. Yeah.
So it makes sense to me that he was like, oh my god, you're so meek. Because honestly, as a Mormon, a new Mormon, a convert, doing things I had never done before, I did come off as very meek. And then when I got comfortable, I was like, something's fucking wrong here. And then people are like, oh my god, who is she? I was like, I've been here the whole time. I've just been anxious, okay? I've just been with my fidget spinner in the corner, but like the whole time I was listening. Yep. Yeah. So my meekness makes sense. All right, we're getting there. I encourage you to continue to seek and pursue your education. Oh, I think there's a couple I need to mark. So education mm-hmm. for sure. Satan, the Satan one. I gotta mark that because Satan got a shout out.
Yep. Satan got a shout out.
He did. He used his name and everything. Okay. All right, here we go. I encourage you to seek and pursue your education. Your education will fill your mind with knowledge of the temporal things of this world. You will find joy in the things that have been placed upon the earth by our Heavenly Father for us to learn. You will be able to share this joy among those with whom you associate. They will be enlightened by your knowledge of the things you have learned. That's a really wraparound way of saying that when I met him, he asked me what I was studying in college, and I said English education because I wanted to teach middle school.
He knew you were going to be a teacher.
He was like, I gotta throw that in there. That's gold. But you can't say teacher.
Very unique.
You gotta like, you know, share the things you've learned mm-hmm. because of your education. Because you can't just come right out and say teacher.
Of course not.
It is important to be cautious in choosing your friends. This is where initially he's like, yeah, you should be friends with people who aren't of this faith.
Mm-hmm. But
choose friends that are strong in the gospel, who are happy and willing to do the work of our Heavenly Father. Not gonna lie, when you left and I was still in, I really pondered hard this sentence, and I was like, I don't know what category she fits into. Does she fit into the like not of this faith and I should serve her, or does she fit into like be careful who I hang out with? And I would say the whole time I was the whole time I was a member, I was like, I don't know which category people fall into, because in this one piece of paper, it's like
they can be both.
Yeah, it's don't hang out with these people, but also serve them, and also like they will benefit from your testimony, but also they will tear you down. Like, confusing. Yep. I bless you at this time with health, strength, and courage, that you may go forth continuing the sacred work of this great gathering of this last dispensation. You are among the choice and valiant spirits that have been chosen to come to earth to defend and uphold the truths of this great gospel. I like really fucking loved that when I was a Mormon, but like yep. literally every Mormon falls into that category. And also, like, everyone in the Old Testament, like, all the Jews, and then all the disciples in the New Testament, though, like, everybody they talk about in the Book of Mormon who suddenly are realize, fictional.
Am I not as special as they tried to tell me I was?
He's like, choice and valiant that have been chosen to defend and uphold the truths of the gospel. It's like, that's a lot of choice and valiant spirits right there.
Yep.
I bless you with the power to come forth on the morning of the first resurrection. Oh, that's funny because someone said that.
Which is to insinuate that you would come, that you would be going to the celestial kingdom.
Right. The rapture, like the good part of the rapture. Where you get raptured and you don't get destroyed.
When your husband calls
pulls me through the veil. Well, yeah, and that's interesting too, because someone had said on Instagram, like, coming forth in the first resurrection. I forgot that that was even in there.
I forgot about that too.
They're clothed in the garments of the holy Melchizedek priesthood with your eternal family, dwelling in the kingdom of our heavenly Father as a queen and priestess, and do so in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's all she wrote.
That was a very generic patriarchal blessing.
And I did get, I know, I did get a bingo, by the way. I got.
Did you?
Satan will try hard to discourage you. Subtle reminder to obey the law of chastity. You will definitely serve a mission. Morning of the first resurrection. And then at the very end, I got, be careful who you hang out with.
Who you hang out with.
Bing.
Bing. Go. Bong.
So yeah, that that's that. Generic for sure. I also
so
think...
So generic. Especially when it comes to, like, you know, you're a female in the church. So, of course, you're going to, like, get married and have kids and, you know, like...
Oh, that's true. I guess I could really, also mark...
You know, basic thing.
Traditional gender roles could also mark that square. Which would give me another bingo going the other way. Mm-hmm. It's like Battleship over here. Yeah, and I think...
Battleship.
I think, one, my stake patriarch, while lovely, is just like a pretty basic Mormon bro.
Dude.
You know? Like, mm-hmm. he's just, he does all the right things. He says all the right things. He's what you're looking for when you're calling a patriarch. Nothing too crazy. Nothing too out there. Nothing where people are going to call the prophet and be like, hey, my patriarchal blessing says I'm supposed to, like, take over the church on Tuesday. Like, when are we going to meet to
I'm
go
here,
over?
Downstairs, can you let me in?
Yeah. Like, nothing crazy, but also just, like, reassuring and, like, has enough in there that is, like, personal, but not so much that it can apply to your whole life, which is what it's supposed to do.
Yeah.
And I think for me at the time receiving it, I think maybe part of me was like, oh, this is, like, not as exciting as I want it to be. But I really wanted to know, obviously, if I was going to get married and have kids. I really wanted to feel like joining the church was, like, the right decision. And I wanted the experience to be affirming to what I believed. And I think because it is so, like, plain and, like, straightforward in terms of, like, God loves you and you have these gifts and you will do these things, you know, check, 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 done. I think that it did that for me. I was like, oh, like, this is what I would expect God to be like if I met him, like, kind of boring, but also, you know, he's got some important things to say. So I think it certainly served its purpose while I was in the church. And I keep it and I hang on to it and I feel like it is, I don't know, like, maybe we re-record this episode in, like, 30 years and we, like, see what they got right and what they miss, you know? Because there's plenty of things in there that you can do as, like, not a Mormon. Like, you can certainly serve people that are not of your faith when you are of any faith or of no faith.
Totally.
And I think it's, I don't know.
You can continue your education way later in life. You can...
Mm-hmm.
End up having kids when you didn't think you would or could. I mean, all sorts of things. There is a general conference talk about patriarchal blessings, and I don't remember who it's by, but I bet you I can find it and link it below. But he talks about how his patriarchal blessing mentioned a bunch of daughters, and him and his wife only had a bunch of sons. And then he talked about how must have been at like a family potluck or something like that. Hold on. Maximus? Chill. Do you hear him whining?
I do.
They're so frustrated. I don't know why. He was like at this family gathering and looking around, and he's like, I realized that I got, you know, maybe we didn't have these daughters, you know, ourselves, but our sons married all of these amazing women, and now we have daughter-in-laws who are helping them build families, and we have granddaughters, and I actually, it's like a twofold thing where, like, I think that's really beautiful, like, mm-hmm. you know, maybe one way you think it is doesn't turn out that way, and then later in life you can kind of see that, you know, I don't really know how
it's like it, every, you know, you can kind of be like
okay, so
adventure movie ever is like, you know, they're like, you have to defeat the demon to whatever, and then at the end they're like, oh, the demon was actually like inside yes. us all along, you yes. know, like you think it's one mm-hmm. thing, and then yeah,
yes, and so I think there's just like a lot of I think on the other side that can be like a really big testimony breaker, you know, a shelf yeah. item of like, I really, because they do say, you know, like whatever you hear, whatever you feel, because it's up to your own interpretation, that's mm-hmm. revelation,
yeah.
you know, and you could read something and really feel like it meant something specific, and then you come to a point in your life where you realize, you know, maybe that's just impossible and it's not going to happen, and you're like, I don't understand, you know, and, you know, for me, you know, we'll get into it, and I know I've mentioned it before, but like the infertility thing of like, I kind of always thought I would have an issue having kids, and then I, you know, I get this blessing, and it's really specific, and I was like, okay, and I held on to that, and then I was diagnosed with infertility before I was even trying to have kids, and, mm-hmm. You know, and that was just one of those things where it's like, I was faithful and I am faithful right now. So why was I given this very specific promise and it isn't playing out? And, you know, the longer time went on, the more I just had to accept that this blessing was given to me possibly because of the things I said in the interview. I knew going in, I kind of wanted to test the waters, and I don't recall saying anything specific about like the specific things I was like praying about and looking for, but I, you know, I feel like when I talked about my conversion and I was like, yeah, you know, like families are forever, you know, really drew me to the church and, you know, things like that. I think they're able to come to a consensus that, you know, someone like me, and obviously it's a really like generic gender role, like most people will get married and or have kids,
mm-hmm.
you know, like it I felt like it was specific to me because I was fasting and I was praying about three specific questions, and having babies in this life, like in my physical form on earth in this life, was something I wanted to know about, and I made sure I didn't mention that concern in my interview, and because of how it played out in my blessing, I was like, he heard me, he knew what I was asking, and he gave me something very specific so I could understand. And I, very anxious, obsessive compulsive, very scrupulous, so I was praying very specifically, and then I got like this very specific answer. Mm-hmm. And I was able to hold on to that interpretation while I was like a single missionary and had no way of seeing how it would play out. And, you know, kind of like the daughters thing, like for him, like, I think that's a really beautiful realization. I'm like, okay, maybe we didn't have these kids ourselves, but like our sons brought all of these amazing women into our lives. And I feel like they're my daughters, they're my family, and I'm grateful. And I see, you know, maybe that's what God was trying to say. But it's like, I've spent $30,000+ on tests and biopsies and procedures and IVF and all these hormones and like nothing. So mm-hmm. it's like, I don't know if I will ever be able to look at my patriarchal blessing 10 years from now, 20 years from now, and think, oh, like, who knows? I could. I don't know. It could happen. But like, if it did, I don't think I would look back at my patriarchal blessing, but there it is. I think I would look back at it and be like, rip it up.
Yeah.
I won't do that because this is my original, but I don't know. That was a very long-winded explanation of how I think, like, it can be testifying, it can, like, solidify your testimony, or it can kind of be a shelf item, and it could also be, like, a combination of the both.
Well, yeah, and I think the way that it's built up, certainly, people are constantly telling stories like that, like, oh, it said I would have daughters and I had sons, but then this happened, I realized it meant this other thing. And like, you had mentioned the story of the guy who was supposed to be like called to like unknown lands, and then he like passed away. And I've like heard that story before, like people share that story all the time. And it's like one of those things where people are like, you know, your patriarchal blessing, it's supposed to be, you know, this ordinance, but there is sort of this like mystical element to it that I think is really fun and people really enjoy. But it can be, because of the way I see it now, like what I believe it is and what I believe it isn't now, I think it's devastating to realize that it's just like some random man telling you things that he feels good about saying to you at the time. And so like reading mine and being like, oh yeah, you're so meek, and your meekness and meanness, blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, yeah, you met me and I presented as like very meek and like, you know, diligent, obedient, like golden convert. Like I always presented that way when I was meeting new people in the church. And, but to like, for things like that, and certainly like when I was at BYUI and I was dating, and I was like, it was really frustrating because a few times I had been dating someone for a while, which in Mormon terms is what, like a month, like 2 months maybe. And you start to think like, oh, like, could I marry this person? Like, where is this going to go? And I never felt right about marrying any of the people that I like met or dated. But it was like scary because it's like, well, my patriarchal blessing says that like I am going to get married and like someone will be prepared for me. But it also says to like seek, you know, God's counsel in this decision that's like my decision to make. And really that leaves you with like nothing, because it's like, well, are they prepared for me? And that's just like they're the one and like here they are. So there it is. Or am I supposed to like make this decision? Like, is it supposed to be difficult? Like, is it supposed to be a choice? Mm-hmm. And there's really like not any clear guidance there.
There's no way to figure it out. There's no way to know.
Yeah, it's really like getting a fortune cookie and just being like, okay, mm-hmm. does this apply to like this afternoon or like 45 years from now? Like, and you don't know. And so it can be really devastating when you're depending on something happening and it doesn't happen. Or I think likewise, if your patriarchal blessing says that you will, you know, get married and live with your spouse for 50 years and then they like die or they want a divorce or whatever, that it's like you're being promised something and you're not getting it, or you're getting it and it's wrong, it's not what it says it will be, that it's jarring to your testimony. And in that
and it
same
ends up falling back on you, like I must have done something wrong.
And yeah, and then in that same document, it's like, well, these blessings are only if you're faithful. Like, they're only if you are doing all you have to be doing. And that leads to that scrupulosity, because people are like, I must not be doing enough because I'm not getting what was promised to me. And when you're married like you were and baby having age and not having babies, it's confusing. Like, when you're getting married age and not getting married, it's confusing. And certainly there are people who stay in the church and like in your situation and they never have children, even though they are faithful in the church and they die in the church, you know. And there are certainly people whose patriarchal blessings say they will be married and they are 75 and single. And it's like, you know, what the fuck is God doing toying with his children's emotions like this?
And there's always an answer like, oh, just remember that it requires someone else's agency. It could always happen in the next life. You know, there's always like an answer, you know, God's ways aren't our ways and yada, yada, mm-hmm. yada. And, you know, all of that just kind of fills the spaces enough to kind of sit in limbo. You know, like, I guess I'll just keep doing what I'm doing and hope for the best. Yeah. Like, hope eventually he'll see me down here struggling.
I'm trying really hard.
Yeah, I'm trying. But he's just like the angry asshole with the magnifying glass trying to burn the ants.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Meanwhile, the ants are like, just carry the sugar to the hole. Just carry the crumb to the hole. And it's
just
like,
clear
that there are forces trying to stop you, and you're just like, put your head down, put your shoulder to the wheel, and just like keep pushing. Yeah. And then one day you finally are like, you know what, this is bullshit, I'm gonna look up and I'm gonna see who's been fucking with me this whole time. And you look up and it's fucking Heavenly Father.
You're like, motherfucker.
And you're like, I've been building this dirt hill for the last my entire life, digging little tunnels, carrying sticks and leaves and shit, heavy as
wasting
shit,
wasting my time.
Just, and I, this whole time I thought you had my back, and turns out you're the one that's like been spraying weed killer on
me. You're the one who's been, yep, exactly. Exactly. That's kind of, that's actually a really great analogy for what it kind of feels like.
Thanks for listening to the More Than Mormon podcast. If you made it this far, then you're definitely worthy to enter the Telestial Kingdom. Wait, is that the good one?